All right, welcome back to the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. My name is Eric.
And my name is Mac.
And this is going to be a fun episode, especially for me. It's my favorite time of the year. I hope it's yours as well.
You're not talking about Christmas?
It's better than Christmas, man.
Oh, that's right. It's Halloween
time. It's Halloween season, man.
Ah, yes, yes.
Super excited. I absolutely love this time of year. Recently, Mac and I were able to hang out and spend some time at an orchard pumpkin patch.
Yep.
Corn maze, the whole New England fall thing.
Fall fun, baby. Fall fun. We did a corn maze. We ate some apple cider donuts.
Hell yeah. Oh my God. The donuts were amazing.
Yeah, dude. And yeah, man, hung around the pumpkins and it got us in the mood. We were talking about the season, Halloween, and we start talking about rock stars or just pop stars that have had experiences with, you know, the paranormal or the supernatural.
The supernatural.
Yes.
So that was our inspiration for the episode we're doing tonight. Enjoy some spooky content for your Halloween season. And Mac, you want to kick this one off?
What better place to start than with Alice Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah. A musician artist whose, you know, whole career has been, you know, his image been based on sort of Halloween and horror and shocking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start with Alice. Alice has a story that goes back to 1983. He and Joe Perry from Aerosmith were staying at an abandoned house in upstate New York. They got together just to write some music, write some songs together. Oddly enough, both were freshly sober at the time.
That is wild in itself, man. My God.
So these things may have actually happened because the boys weren't partaking in any of the chemical substances, but they started to notice some strange things happening in the house. Sort of prankish, playful stuff happening in the house. Like Alice tells a story of, you know, putting his clothes away, leaves the room, comes back, and the closet that he was putting clothes in, the door is closed. The drawer he was putting clothes in was closed. Sitting in there eating dinner, it sounds like somebody's in the basement moving furniture around.
That's wild, man.
Just really odd stuff. You know, he goes down to the basement to investigate the noise in the basement, and he thinks he feels a hand on his shoulder. So, you know, I can relate to this. You know, I grew up in a house that had sort of a friendly, prankish kind of a ghost.
I remember this vividly.
I remember moving in, you know, the previous owner discloses to us, you know, there's a spirit in the house, and we're just like, yeah, okay, whatever, asshole, you know. Yeah, sure.
Right,
whatever, pal.
Whatever.
But, you know, silly things were happening. You know, things would go missing from the kitchen, frying pans and whatnot. And then your mom's tearing the house apart and she's blaming us and yelling at the kids for losing her frying pan. And then, you know, 6 months later, you come home and you walk in the house and the frying pan is sitting in the middle of the living room.
Of course. I mean, where else would it be?
Yeah. So we knew the ghost's name. We would hear our names called. You know, in the basement, you would hear your name called. You hear kids playing in the basement. Rocking chairs would just rock, but nobody in them. The toilet would flush at night when you were sleeping, and no one had gotten up to use the bathroom. So
that's so crazy.
Me and Joe Perry and Alice Cooper have something in common. I'm not a rock star, but hey, man, I get where they're coming from. That shit's real.
Dude, one of my favorites, I remember being at your house when this happened. So I actually witnessed it firsthand. You were looking for the dog leash.
Yes.
And it was nowhere to be found. There was a hook that you used to hang it on next to the door, and it was not there. We all looked. And then, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours later, whatever, we'd gone upstairs. We were doing other things. We go back downstairs, and the leash was hanging on the freaking hook. And we all were like, dude, it was not there like just a little while ago. We all witnessed, and then the fucking thing is just hanging right where it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that's crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, quite familiar with this. And, you know, just going back to Alice Cooper and his story, you know, it turns out the house was said to be haunted by a little boy who'd previously lived there before drowning in a nearby lake. But hey, man, you never know when a spirit gets stuck halfway between where it was and where it was going.
But I need to know, what the hell were they doing in an abandoned house? Like, you're rock stars. Like, you couldn't afford the Four Seasons or something? Like, what do you know?
Right.
You're a friggin' abandoned house.
This is the
house.
80s in upstate New York. It was not expensive to get a nice place.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying.
And you got rock star money. Unless at that point you'd burned it all on coke. But I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Or they were just hiding out from people they just wanted no part of seeing. I mean, seriously. When you're trying to, you know, get sober. Yeah. And, you know, those two were legendary for their excessive endeavors. Yeah. So that must have been a rough time. I mean, it's amazing it didn't. The experience didn't drive him back to doing drugs.
Can you imagine, like, I made it through. I'm finally sober. Oh my God. And now
you're getting haunted by a little boy in an abandoned house in upstate New York. Just this freaking weird, man. Well, speaking of upstate New York, very close by, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Ace Frehley, founding a guitar player of Kiss, of course, had some experiences of his own not too far away. He purchased a home in Westchester, New York, and almost immediately noticed, you know, weird things were happening. Things were being much like your place. You know, things were being moved around. You'd put something down over here and then it's gone, and then it turns up somewhere else later on. It didn't really think too much of it at first. It didn't seem dangerous or anything. It was much like the Alice Cooper, Joe Perry story. It just seemed kind of playful and, you know, quirky and whatnot. But it actually manifested itself at least twice where it had physical contact with loved ones. His daughter was the first one. She was pushed down the stairs. Once that happened, Ace started to kind of put things together. Whatever this is, maybe it's not so playful. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's not such a nice spirit or whatnot. He actually was convinced it was something evil in the house. Yeah. And then eventually, as, you know, rock star marriages often do, you know, they split up and separated, and his daughter moved out. And when Ace moved back into the house later on with his new wife, she almost immediately felt like something was off in the house as well, without knowing any of the previous stories. She just had a bad vibe from the place. And then the same stairs, she got pushed down the stairs. So at that point, I mean, you know, in the Frehley household, it was kind of chaotic. I mean, imagine, it's one thing to have a home that is haunted, right, or you think there's something there that's doing things like moving things around and hiding things. But when it's like physically attacking you and pushing people downstairs, like, that's pretty fucking terrifying.
You know, and I don't hear anything in the story about, you know, Ace being pushed down any stairs. So it sounds to me like this ghost, you know, had a thing for Ace and was just trying to get rid of all the competition.
Oh my God, it was like a groupie ghost. Holy shit, I never thought of that. Yeah, just trying to, you know, eliminate the competition. You know, Ace was a wacky guy, still is. So he went to a psychic, and the psychic told him that the house had previously been inhabited by an abusive mother who murdered her own children in the house. So take that for what it's worth. But yeah, definitely creepy stuff going on in upstate New York.
No, groupie ghost, I'm telling you.
Groupie ghost, man.
All right. Now let's talk about Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick claims to have been visited in his sleep by the one and only Tupac Shakur.
This is wild, man.
This is crazy, right? He recalls how Tupac's, you know, like, sort of silhouette came to him and said, "Keep doing what you're doing. Don't let my music die." Wow. This kind of like inspired Kendrick to create the song Mortal Man off the 2015 album To Pimp a Butterfly. But in the song Mortal Man, Kendrick samples a real life interview from Tupac from 1994. Tupac had done an interview with a Swedish radio show. Kendrick took that interview and kind of mixed in his own voice with excerpts from the interview to create a kind of dialogue between himself and Tupac, which is, cool. Which is really interesting when you go back and listen to it, when you know, like, what kind of inspired Kendrick to do that.
Yeah.
But Eric, I got to say something here. I mean, okay. I'm not here to throw shade on Kendrick's story.
Okay.
But if Tupac's ghost visited me, I would expect him to say something like, "Keep your head up," or "Holler if you hear me," you know.
I mean, that makes
sense. I'd be a little disappointed, you know, if I'm visited by Tupac's ghost and "Don't let my music die." You know, no, I don't want to. I want some lyrics, you know.
Out on bail, fresh out of jail, California dreaming. I mean,
it's like if the ghost of Biggie paid you a visit and didn't say, "Throw your hands in the air if you're a tube player," like,
right.
You'd be like, "Well, this sucks. Like, why?"
Yeah. If Biggie comes to me in my sleep, man, I better hear, "It's all good, baby, baby." That's all I want to hear. Just at least give me that. So we go from groupie ghosts to dead rappers visiting people. Yeah. That's crazy shit.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
All right. Well, let's move on to a pop star. We've had our rockers. We've had our hip hop artists. Let's move on to a pop star. Ariana Grande has some pretty wild shit that's happened to her. Apparently, while in Kansas City, she wanted to go to, and I hope I'm saying it right, Stull Cemetery, which supposedly is one of the, they say it's one of the seven gates to hell on earth.
Let's go there.
Right? Sounds, I mean, could just be their tourism department. I don't know, but I want to know what the other six are.
Yeah, right.
If this is one of the seven, where the hell are the other six?
And have I been to them already?
Yeah. Right, right, exactly. Anyway, so she goes to this Stull Cemetery, which is, again, supposedly a gate to hell. She started feeling sick, said she had this overwhelming feeling of negativity over the whole car she was in, and could smell sulfur, and which supposedly is a sign of a demon. Hmm. And then supposedly took a picture while in the car, and there's these three faces that show up in the picture. Yeah. Supposedly they look like demons in the photograph. I don't know. A lot of times if you look hard enough at things, you know, it's like looking at clouds and seeing, look, a bunny rabbit. You know what I mean? I think, you know, if you look hard enough, maybe you can find faces and things. But this is the good part. So the next day she goes to send the picture to her manager, right? And I love this. She gets a prompt in her computer that says this file can't be sent. It's 666 megabytes.
The number of the beast.
I don't know, man. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's some Hollywood shit there.
You know what that reminds me of, though?
What's that?
On your drum kit, you used to have a sticker that said 667, the neighbor of the beast.
The neighbor of the beast. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's awesome. So she goes on to say, then weird things started to happen. Like, okay, the rest of this shit wasn't weird. Now the weird stuff starts. But I don't know. She claimed that one night while going to sleep, she closed her eyes and heard a really loud rumbling, like right next to her head. And when she opened her eyes, it stops. But she closes her eyes again, and it starts again, and it whispers this time. And every time she would close her eyes, she started seeing really disturbing images with red shapes, whatever that means. And then on the side of her bed was this massive black matter. So anyway, yeah, whatever it was, it made her start to cry, and she watched it move from the front of her bed. And then, you know, she just fell asleep, of course, because, you know, I could sleep after couldn't you? But apparently when she woke up, it was gone. Everything was okay. And then the next night, her friend was staying with her, and she said that she was trying to sleep and her body felt paralyzed almost. And she described the exact same thing that Ariana saw the night before.
You know, I know it's
wild stuff.
It sounds a little out there, but, you know, at the same time, hey, after what I lived through in my house, like, you know what, Ariana, I believe you.
The 666 megabytes is the best, though, dude. I love that. That's fantastic. So, yeah, not just, you know, rock stars with questionable pasts or anything. Ariana Grande.
Right, yeah.
You know, America's sweetheart.
All right, let's talk about one of our favorite bands of all time. We're talking about the boys from Iowa, Slipknot.
Yeah.
So we can add them to the list of bands who have recorded at the Houdini Mansion in L.A. and have
that's super cool.
Noticed some strange occurrences. The band was working there with Rick Rubin on Volume 3, Subliminal Verses album, which I still think is their best album.
Do you?
From an artistic standpoint, I do.
Yeah. All right. It's a fantastic record. Don't get me wrong. I just, it's whenever that topic comes up, I always go to Iowa, though. I always end up at Iowa because it's just their heaviest, angriest album.
But I think it's their most complete album. But I digress. But anyways, you know, Corey Taylor, the singer from Slipknot, he was visited by something while he was taking a shower, actually.
Wait a minute. He was in the shower?
Yeah, he was in the shower.
It's a groupie ghost. It had to be a groupie ghost, right? Ghost. Man, makes
all
sense.
These guys, they're all the same. He's taking a shower. You know, he's alone in the room. The door's locked. You know, he's all by himself. He opens the shower curtain while he's in there, and he could see out into the room, and he saw a man in a tuxedo.
What?
Walk past the open bathroom door, staring right at him.
That's fucked up.
That's some scary shit, man.
That's like some, like, Shining shit or something.
Right. Classy.
A well-dressed ghost.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also, drummer Joey Jordison, may he rest in peace, also said that he felt a ghostly form pass through him in the basement of the mansion.
A ghostly form.
And then reported that his door would swing open at the same time, 9:30 a.m. every morning.
Weird.
But I mean, there's plenty of other, you can look at plenty of other musicians and bands that have recorded at the Houdini Mansion that have come out with some, you know, some stories, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers have some stories.
Chili Peppers, I was going to say, yeah. So yeah, the Chili Peppers, man, did they have any good stories of recording at the Houdini Mansion?
Yeah, they recorded Blood Sugar Sex Magic there with Rubin.
That's right.
And apparently, you know, Anthony Kiedis, you know, has talked about coming across, you know, spirits on the grounds, but he didn't seem to be scared by it. He felt kind of comforted by it, I guess. But John Frusciante claimed to have an erotic experience with a female apparition.
Dude, the groupie ghost is
back. Here we go. That's three.
Dude, groupie ghosts. Who knew? Oh, man. That kind of shit never happens to me,
I mean,
man.
Dude, we could start another podcast and just call it Groupie Ghosts.
Groupie Ghosts. I love it. That's fantastic. Trademark. Nobody can steal that.
And I guess Chad Smith didn't hang out at night. Like, he would record during the day and just take off and come back in the morning.
He's like, fuck that.
Fuck this, man. I don't need this shit.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know, man. After hearing about an erotic experience with a female ghost, man, I don't know. I might hang out.
I mean, what's everyone's hurry? Why don't we stay here a little longer? I mean.
Right.
But Eric, as long as we're on this topic, real quick.
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite Halloween jam or artist or like who pops up in your playlist?
Oh, well, okay. It's not actually Halloween music per se, but I mean, Typo Negative is always this time of year. I mean, I listen to them constantly anyway. They're one of my favorite bands of all time, but there's just something about fall time, especially and around Halloween, because their stuff is, you know, it's kind of spooky. Yep. And yeah, so as far as like popular music, like, you know, that I'm listening to, Typo Negative hands down this time of year. As far as like actual Halloween songs, I'm kind of old school, man. I think part of my love of Halloween is that, you know, it brings you back to your childhood. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I loved Halloween as a kid. I've always like loved anything like spooky or weird or, you know, that kind of thing anyway. So for me, I love the old, like the classics, you know, the Monster Mash is one of my all time favorite Halloween jams. I'm a big Rocky Horror fan too.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything from the Rocky Horror soundtrack, Screamin' Jay Hawkins, I Put a Spell on You, you know, like older stuff like that really kind of gets me in the mood, you know. Yeah. How about you?
I tend to gravitate towards, you know, some Rob Zombie this time of year.
Oh, yeah, that works. Hell yeah.
You know, I mean, just so many of his songs, you know, just kind of lend themselves to, you know, that sort of feeling. And going back to the, you know, the first two, you know, the White Zombie albums as well.
Sure,
But, like, you know, like American Witch, the Rob Zombies,
right
up there for my favorite Halloween jams, for sure. Right on, dude. How about we finish this up with some shout-outs?
Sounds good.
I've got some European cities that I am going to butcher.
Love it.
Oh, man.
Oh, I see one already. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a couple in there. This is going to be great.
Let's start with our friends here in the States. Shout outs to some new and returning listeners. Los Angeles, California. Clifton Heights, Pennsylvania. Hyannis, Massachusetts. Saginaw, Michigan. St. Paul, Minnesota. Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Indio, California. San Dimas, California. Bill and Ted's, right?
Oh, that's right. I'm like, why is that so familiar?
I saw that. San Dimas. I was like, oh my God, I got to shout out San Dimas.
Yeah, dude.
Yakima, Washington. Jasper, Wyoming. Okay, here we go. Germany. I love you, but these, here we go. Bad Bellingen, Germany.
All right, not bad.
Got bad in the title. I mean, that's pretty cool around Halloween time.
Pretty bad.
Here we go. Bad Munsterifel. Wow.
That's a mouthful.
And Gelsenkirchen, Germany.
Oof.
Okay. Our friends in Germany, I apologize for the terrible pronunciation.
Yes, we're sorry.
Pisa, Italy. I think
nice.
You're familiar with them. They have a tower with a little bit of a lean to it.
Never heard of it.
Look it up. And Cricklewood, UK. That's a neighborhood in London.
Nice.
I want to give a shout out, personal shout out, to a YouTube user, Tommy.461. In response to our last episode, we did same title, different songs. We had talked about Fire by Jimi Hendrix and the Ohio Players.
Yeah.
And Tommy wrote a comment on our YouTube channel and turned me on to Fire by The Crazy World of Arthur Brown from 1968.
Yeah, dude. That is a fantastic song. I almost said that song is fire, but that would be really, really lame of me to do that. So, yeah, it's a fucking great song, man.
And I wasn't familiar
totally
with it.
Forgot about
I wasn't
that.
Familiar with it at all. You know, so I looked it up as soon as I saw the comment, and I'm just like, oh my God, what is this? Like,
it's wild.
It's King Diamond. It's Alice Cooper. It's Kiss. It's makeup, fire, theatrics. Like, it was so cool.
Yeah, it's really, really good stuff. Arthur Brown was kind of, you know, one of the early shock rocker, you know, types. As a matter of fact, that song Fire, you can hear on Marilyn Manson sampled that on his first album. And he was also a huge inspiration to Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, because Arthur Brown had this big soaring voice and could, much like Dickinson, he would sing to the back of the auditorium. You know what I mean? He's not singing to the people in front. He's singing to the back. He's reaching everybody, you know, that are in the cheap seats. And, you know, Bruce Dickinson just admits, I mean, he just stole that whole thing from Arthur Brown, you know, and went on to be, you know, this huge rock star. And it's a great story. I saw an interview with him one time, and he was talking about how, you know, later on in his career, he met Arthur Brown in person and was just like, thank you, man. Like, thank you so much. I just totally stole your gig. And, you know, we're this huge band, but thank you, you know. So, yeah, man, Arthur Brown's cool shit, man. Check it out if you've never heard of it.
Yeah, man, no doubt. So Tommy.461, man, thank you
thanks,
for the comment and turning me onto that. Really appreciate it. And just also real quick on YouTube, I had shared a video of the Pink Funk Mothership.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, from the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. And I got some really cool comments from some people. Michael Parker, 9860. Paul F., 6784. Octavio Martinez, 7535. Just sharing a lot of positivity. Love for music, lyrics from Parliament. So everybody just, we love the comments. We love the positivity. We love you sharing stuff. So yeah, keep it coming.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I was so jealous when I saw that picture, dude. That is some cool shit right there.
Dude, you were the only one I was thinking of when I saw it. I'm like, oh my God.
It's amazing.
Aaron's going to dig this.
Huge Parliament fan. That was nice. Dope. That was really cool, man.
All right, then. Like I said, we're on YouTube. Check us out there. Instagram, Facebook, Threads. You know, wherever you do your social thing, give us a follow. Wherever you listen to us, rate, review, subscribe. Then we appreciate it. We thank everybody for listening, as always.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you enjoyed our little Halloween episode, and be safe out there. But yeah, have a happy, happy Halloween.
Yeah, trick or treat, y'all.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks again for hanging out with us. My name is Eric.
And my name is Mac.
And this is the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.